Jakarta, Indonesia. Here is Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program through shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz. Online streaming, voanews.id, and RRI Digital Mobile Application. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. From Hello there, you are listening to the English service from the Voice of Indonesia. We are available on 3325 kHz, 4755 kHz, and also our online streamings, voinews.id and the application RRI Digital. I'm Steve, and today we will talk more about Indonesia, and also something about soccer or football. So make sure to stay tuned with us at the Service Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Here's the news, first the headlines. Prabowo received letter of credentials of friendly countries ambassadors. Indonesian Foreign Ministry promotes peace in Myanmar, and here is the news in detail. Indonesian President Prabowo Subianto received a letter of credentials from 8 ambassadors, extraordinary and plenipotentiary of friendly countries. The President reaffirmed Indonesia's free and active foreign principle, which prioritizes peaceful settlement. For report by Putri Cahaya Purnama.
Indonesian President Prabowo Subianto received 8 ambassadors extraordinary and plenipotentiary of friendly countries at Merdeka Palace, Jakarta on Monday, June 8, 2026. They came to present their letter of credentials directly to the President, officially marking the beginning of their diplomatic duties in Indonesia. Vice Minister of Foreign Affairs, Anies Mata, explained that during the meeting, President Prabowo conveyed the main direction and principles of Indonesia's diplomacy amid current global dynamics. According to the President, Indonesia remains committed to its free and active foreign policy, does not side with any particular power bloc, and does not join any military alliance with any country. In addition, according to Anies Mata, the President also emphasized the importance of peaceful settlement in addressing various global issues. This is considered increasingly relevant as relations among countries are now becoming more interconnected.
Enggak, tadi Presiden kepada para dubes hanya menjelaskan.
Earlier, the President only explained to the ambassadors Indonesia's principle in international diplomacy that we are free and active. We do not have a military alliance with any country, and the President said that because the world has now become much smaller, what we need today are all forms of peaceful settlement.
Sehingga yang kita perlukan sekarang ini adalah semua bentuk penyelesaian yang bersifat damai.
During the meeting, the ambassadors also shared brief remarks on their country's relations with Indonesia. One of them was Palestinian ambassador to Indonesia, Abdel Fattah Ahmed Khalil Al-Sattari, who expressed his pride in serving in Indonesia. He emphasized that Palestine and Indonesia have long enjoyed close relations. Therefore, he is committed to further strengthening bilateral ties during his tenure in Indonesia.
I am proud to be in Indonesia, the great country and the great people. And all of you know that we have very strict relationship between Palestine and Indonesia. And I will do my best to increase this relation.
The 8 ambassadors of friendly countries who presented their letter of credentials to President Prabowo were Ambassador of Sri Lanka, Sumadurika Sashikala Premawardhane, Ambassador of the Philippines, Christopher Baltasar Montero, Ambassador of Korea, Yoon Sung-gu, Ambassador of the Czech Republic, Peter Kopriva, Ambassador of Palestine, Abdel Fattah Ahmed Khalil Al-Sattari, Ambassador of Greece, Dimitrios Michalopoulos, Ambassador of Lebanon Salam Al-Achkar, and Ambassador of St. Lucia Menisa Rambali. Putri Cahaya Purnama, Voice of Indonesia.
Indonesian Foreign Minister Sugiono paid a visit to Naypyidaw, Myanmar, discussing peace efforts amid the ongoing civil conflict in the country. The visit also provided an opportunity for Indonesia and Myanmar to review potential areas of cooperation between two countries. During the visit, Sugiono met with Myanmar President Min Aung Hlaing and Myanmar Foreign Minister U Thin Maung Sui. The meeting was part of Indonesia's diplomatic efforts to encourage inclusive and sustainable dialogue in Myanmar. In a statement received on Tuesday, Sugiono conveyed a message from Indonesian President Prabowo Subianto to Myanmar President Min Aung Hlaing. The message reaffirmed Indonesia's commitment to working with all parties in supporting the peace process in Myanmar.
Kesempatan tersebut saya gunakan untuk menyampaikan secara langsung.
I used the opportunity to directly convey a message from President Prabowo Subianto to President Min Aung Hlaing, namely Indonesia's commitment to working with all stakeholders in Myanmar to encourage dialogue and support the realization of inclusive and sustainable peace. Indonesia also believes that the sustainable peace process must be Myanmar-owned and Myanmar-led.
Bahwa proses perdamaian yang berkelanjutan perlu bersifat Myanmar-owned dan Myanmar-led.
In addition to peace issues, the visit also discussed potential cooperation between Indonesia and Myanmar. Several sectors of interest include energy and food security, which are considered to have potential for further development. Creative Economy Minister Tuku Rifki Harsyah sent off two young Indonesian talents, Nia Maulani and Muhammad Dafa Aulia, to compete at the Cannes Lions International Festival of Creativity 2026 in Cannes, France. Their participation marks Indonesia's effort to strengthen the position of its national creative industry on the global stage. Rizka Fadila has the report.
The Indonesian government, through the Ministry of Creative Economy, officially sent off two Young Lions Indonesia 2026 delegates, Nia Maulani and Muhammad Dafa Aulia. They will represent Indonesia at the Cannes Lions International Festival of Creativity 2026 in Cannes, France, one of the world's most prestigious creativity and advertising events. The send-off ceremony was led by Creative Economy Minister Tuku Rifki Harsyah in Jakarta on Monday, June 8. On that occasion, Tuku Rifki said the government had provided full support to delegates, ranging from mentoring and coordination to collaboration with various parties regarding their departure and competition preparation. According to Tuku Rifki, the presence of young Indonesian talents at an international event such as Cannes Lions shows that more opportunities must continue to be opened for creative talents. He said achievements at the global level are important to demonstrate that Indonesia's creative human resources are able to compete with those of other countries.
This means that all parties must provide space for talents to continue achieving, and of course not only at the national level, but hopefully also at the global level.
Tuku Rifki expressed hope that Indonesia's participation in Cannes Lions would not only serve as a competition platform. More than that, it is expected to open up international recognition of the capabilities of Indonesian creative talents, especially in the advertising, marketing, and creative communication subsectors.
So that the world or worldwide audiences can also see that Indonesian talents are not inferior to those from developed countries.
In the competition, Nia Maulani will take part as a copywriter, while Muhammad Dafa Aulia will serve as an art director. The Ministry of Creative Economy emphasized that the advertising sector is one of the strengths of Indonesia's national creative economy, in line with the vision of the creative economy as a new engine of Indonesia growth. Rizka Fadila reporting from Voice of Indonesia.
Indonesia continues to encourage its national advertising industry to gain stronger recognition in the global market. This drive has gained momentum with the participation of two young Indonesian talents in the Cannes Lions International Festival of Creativity 2026 in France. The government believes that global recognition of Indonesian creativity can open up greater economic opportunities for the advertising subsector. Here is the report by Rizka Fadila.
The Ministry of Creative Economy is encouraging Indonesia advertising industry to move to the next level and become more confident in competing in the global market. This effort comes as two young Indonesian talents, Nia Maulani and Muhammad Dafa Aulia, take part in the Cannes Lions International Festival of Creativity 2026 in France. Minister of Creative Economy Teuku Rifki Harsha said in Jakarta on Monday, June 8, that the presence of Indonesian talents at an international creativity event served as an important momentum to showcase the quality of the national creative industry. According to him, as Indonesian works gain more global recognition, trust in Indonesia's capability in advertising production and creative content will also increase. He explained that the advertising subsector has significant economic potential. Based on data from the Ministry of Investment, investment value in the advertising subsector in 2025 reached 6.6 trillion rupiah, or around $363 million, making it the fifth largest subsector in the creative economy.
We hope that more global advertising production can also come to Indonesia. So in terms of investment in 2025, the advertising sector currently ranks fifth. The value is around 6.6 trillion rupiah in 2025. Based on data from the Ministry of Investment, BKPM.
Teuku Rifki expressed hope that Indonesia's participation in Cannes Lions would not only serve as a platform to showcase talent, but also pave the way of more global advertising projects and investment to enter Indonesia. In this way, national creative talents can gain wider space to create and collaborate. One of Indonesia's delegates, Nia Maulani, welcomed the support from the government and the creative industry for young talents. She expressed hope that in the future, more categories and opportunities would be opened for young Indonesians to appear on the international stage.
So the hope is that in the future, more categories will be opened up.
Indonesia previously recorded a proud achievement at the Young Lions competition. In 2022, Leo Burnett Jakarta through Randy Handoko and Joshua Chandra won a gold medal at the Cannes Young PR Lions. The achievement marked a historic moment as it was the first time Indonesia won the highest award in the global creative competition. Rizka Fadila reporting from Voice of Indonesia.
Tunisia is encouraging more balanced trade and investment cooperation with Indonesia. The push comes amid an upward trend in the trade value between the two countries in recent years. The ambassador of Tunisia to Indonesia, Mohamed Trabelsi, told Voice of Indonesia on Tuesday that economic relations between Indonesia and Tunisia have a great potential to be further developed. According to him, the cooperation built between the two countries needs to bring balanced benefits both in terms of imports and exports. Trabelsi explained that Tunisia has so far continued to rely on several leading commodities from Indonesia. One of them is palm oil, which is an important material for industries in his country. On the other hand, Tunisia also hoped that its own flagship products can gain wider access to Indonesian market. A number of Tunisian products are considered to have promising market potential in Indonesia, including dates, olive oil, and various other value-added products. Therefore, Tunisia hopes the negotiation process and economic cooperation between the two countries can open wider opportunities for mutually beneficial business exchanges.
We would like to create a balanced business exchange so that import and export should be balanced. So we work together during negotiation between the two sides so that we preserve the interests of both countries.
In addition to promoting balanced trade, Tunisia is also offering itself a gateway for Indonesian products and investment to enter the African market. Trabelsi said Tunisia's strategic position in North Africa is an added value for Indonesia as it seeks to expand its market into the region. According to Trabalsi, Tunisia has a network of cooperation and free trade agreement with several countries in Africa, the Arab region and Europe. With its position, Tunisia has the potential to become a hub for Indonesia's business expansion, both in trade of goods and investment across Africa and surrounding regions. The head of National Research and Innovation Agency, or BRAIN, Arif Satri, on Monday affirmed that research must provide real benefits for society and economic growth. During an event in Makassar, he said Indonesia's current challenge is not only to produce research, but also to ensure research results can be applied and downstreamed. In an official statement, Arif highlighted the large number of studies produced every year by universities and research institutions. However, many of them have yet to reach the stage where they can be directly used by public or industry. He also encouraged collaboration among universities, government, industry, and research institutions. According to him, such collaboration is important so that innovation can respond to public needs, strengthen regional development, and improve Indonesia's competitiveness.
Siapa yang bisa buatku begini? Gila, ini bahagia apa menderita? Langit lagi bagus-bagusnya, tapi bagiku biasa saja. Dia buatku terkesima.
Mengapa mu tak berani menciummu? Apalagi mata pendek lutut kaki gemetarku berdiri. Kalau sampai ku mau ku tidur lagi, alamat malah nanti kau pergi.
Kalau ada 9 nyawa, mau samamu saja semuanya. Ini dagang, isinya kamu semua. Alamat ini kah jatuh cinta.
Buka payah seketika pingsan. Mana nafas buat aja. Can I see you for a minute? Boleh aku visit? See you mom and dad, aku pamit. Kalau memang naga-naganya kau berkenan, ku berangkat sekarang.
Kenapa mu tak berani menciummu? Apalagi mata pundak lutut kaki gemetarku berdiri. Kalau sampai ku miliki, tak mau
saja semua.
penuh cinta.
Soccer Fiesta.
Did you know that throughout the history of the World Cup, there have always been iconic celebrations? Here are three of them. First, David Beckham in 2002. He scored a penalty against Argentina and celebrated by kissing the England badge, a truly emotional moment of redemption. Then, there is Robbie Keane in 2002. His celebration was simple but iconic. He pretended to be Robin Hood, starting with a cartwheel and then mimicking pulling a bow and arrow. Simple, but very memorable. Lastly, Bebeto in 1994. After scoring, he celebrated as if he were rocking a baby. It turned out he had just welcomed a child. So it wasn't just about football, but also personal happiness.
Soccer Fiesta.
Pandai memanggilmu. Santailah dulu sejenak kawanku. Tinggalkanlah semua masalahmu. Bisik pasir deburan ombak temani semesta membiru. Dengarlah.
Of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast via shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you. Diplomatic Forum. The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
And listener, we will have a very special section called Soccer Fiesta. This time we will be having a deep talk with the ambassador of Canada to Indonesia, Jess Dutton. Enjoy.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Welcome back in Soccer Fiesta. And today, I have a wonderful guest who is so warm today. This morning, he came with his big smile. Thank you very much for coming here, Mr. Jess Dutton, the Ambassador of Canada. How are you?
I'm great. It's really it's a thrill to be here. Thank you.
Yeah. So as we promised, of course, we are going to talk about football. You said earlier that there's also women football, right? Women football. And Canada has become the host and got the gold medal.
So, yeah, thank you. And you know, I know we're marking the Men's World Cup later this week, but it's also important to note that there's very strong Women's World Cup and women's soccer, women's football around the world. And I was mentioning that, you know, we've won, Canada has won an Olympic gold medal in football, but also we have a player, she's now retired, but she is the highest, her name is Christine Sinclair, the highest scoring player of any player, men or women, in the World Cup.
Wow.
So she has more goals than Cristiano Ronaldo, than Messi, anyone else in the history of the World Cup, a Canadian woman. So we're very, very proud.
Yeah, I just know about that, actually. I feel really happy because there is a Women World Cup held in Canada and Canada hosting it. And I know some of the players, but I know Christine a little bit, not a lot, because I rarely seen her in television, right? Because it's rarely broadcasted, especially the women football. But since we are talking about the World Cup 2026, so we have 48 spots this year here in the World Cup. So how do you think? And Canada also hosting the World Cup 2026.
Yeah.
So is Canada ready to host?
Canada's ready. I mean, it's a great thrill. And I think it's an important partnership between three countries, Mexico, United States, and Canada, to jointly host.
Huge.
Yeah, it's a huge global event. And our two cities, Toronto and Vancouver, are ready. The fans are ready. And we're really ready to welcome the world.
Well, it's uncommon, you know, because usually Canada hosting winter Olympic, like winter sport, and now you are hosting we can say that summer sports, right?
Yes.
So how does it feel? What's changed? Is there any changes in the preparation and everything?
No, I mean, so Canada's hosted three Olympic games, two winter and one summer.
Oh, okay.
Right? So in 1976, Montreal hosted the Summer Olympics. And you know, in Indonesia, it's warm all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Like I find it I never look at the temperature. I just know it's always warm. Canada, we have four seasons, but the summers are quite hot in southern Canada. And so in Vancouver and Toronto, you know, when there are games later in June, the temperatures could be quite high and it can also be quite humid. So we embrace both summer and winter sports.
Oh, okay. So definitely Canada is ready to be the host of the World Cup 2026.
Yes, I can assure all viewers that there will not be a snowstorm at any of the games.
Okay. And of course, if we're talking about Canada itself, is there any benefit for Canada national team, because you are hosting it, get into the next 48 spots, or you automatically got the spot?
So, I mean, we automatically get the spot as a host. So all three teams did. But Canada qualified at the last World Cup in Qatar. And our men's team is quite good. So I think even if we weren't hosting, we likely would have qualified this year as well, especially since now there are more teams than ever participating in World Cups.
Mm. How far do you think Canada will go?
So I think we'll definitely make it out of the first round. And I think a huge success for us is Final 16. You know, of course, as a fan, I want the Canadian team to go all the way. But you also know that, you know, we have teams like Brazil, Germany, others that are very established, have star players. So we're realistic, but really hopeful. And I think for us, getting out of the first round is very, very possible.
Because you're in Group B.
Yeah.
With Swiss also.
I believe so, yes.
And as we all know, of course, Swiss is a bit challenging for you. Which country exactly that have more challenge to go to the 16?
Well, I mean, I think if we play our game, and you know, there's home field advantage, right? We're playing in North America, in Canada. The fans will be solidly behind us, and there will be, I think, great pride in watching the men's team. So I think that will give us an extra boost that perhaps other teams don't have.
Okay. So Canadian teams called as the Reds or Les Rouges?
Les Rouges, yeah. Thank you. Merci pour ça.
Oui. And who exactly needs to emerge for the team to be competitive in this year's World Cup?
So, I mean, our star player, of course, the one that I think everyone knows is Alphonso Davies.
Alphonso, yeah.
Right. Now, he has been injured. So this is our biggest concern is his health. We're certain that he will play in the opening rounds. But his health is really, really important. What's exciting about the Canadian team is, we have the star, but we also have a lot of young and up-and-coming players. And these are the ones that I think have an opportunity to step up and to show just the potential that they have. So it's a team sport, and no one player, of course, can win or lose it.
Yeah.
So Canada will work really hard as a team to go as far as we can.
I guess Alphonso, right? Alphonso is actually your favorite player.
Yeah, in fact, I'm wearing his shirt.
Oh, okay. Is the name behind that?
Yes, it is.
Is Alphonso?
Yeah, well, Davies.
Oh, Davies.
Davies on the back.
Oh, okay.
Pa Alphonso here in...
Pa Alphonso, Indonesia. And you are Pa Jess.
That's right.
Okay. So, Pa Jess, who is the young player that you've mentioned earlier that can't have a... How you say? Make a Canadian team will be stronger in this World Cup?
So, there isn't just one.
Oh, a lot.
Oh, well, there are a number of them.
Okay.
I think that the young players working together, and, you know, we're hopeful that Alphonso Davies will be a big star, will be healthy, will be playing well. But if he's not, we have all these others that will step up and ensure we do as well as possible.
He's also become a captain of the Canadian team, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
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 And did you think that the current coach that has been coaching a Canadian team for a long time is using the right, how you say, prescription or formula to get to the 16?
So it's interesting you're asking that question of an ambassador.
I'm listening to football lovers.
Football lovers.
Okay.
I hope so. You know, I will say living here, it's harder for me to follow the day-to-day of the Canadian team. But, you know, I think we have a great coach. And interestingly, you know, the coach of the Indonesian team, the current coach, he was the coach of the women's team and then the Canadian men's team.
Oh.
So he's British, but he coached both the Canadian women and then the Canadian men.
Oh.
And now he's coach of Indonesia.
Okay.
Anyway, just an interesting
tidbit.
That brings soccer closer, football closer to both of our countries. But, you know, I think, I definitely think our coach is doing everything he can to ensure that the team comes together and makes it to the next round.
Hopefully. What would you do exactly if Canada get into the 16 or maybe get into the final?
Well, I mean, I'd stay up late here and I'd be watching all of the games and really, really supportive. I think, you know, Canada, that would be incredibly exciting. You know, already, like, the World Cup is such an incredible tournament because it really is one of, if not the most popular sporting event in the world. And countries remember when their team has done well. It's been a seminal point in their history. And for Canada to make it far, I mean, to dream to make it to the finals, I mean, I think it would be a national holiday. I don't think any place of work would be open. Hopefully it lands on a weekend.
Okay.
But I think the Canadian economy, at least the daily working economy, would shut down and everyone would be watching the game.
Okay. Well, it's interesting. You're going to have a national holiday for the whole year.
Well,
you win, right?
Well,
That's your hope.
Well, I think you know, I think a lot of people will be watching the game.
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
And what would you want to say to all the Canadian everywhere around the world to support their team in the World Cup?
Well, you know, we're really proud that Canada is hosting. We're really proud that we have an excellent team that will compete. And, you know, cheer for the team. There are going to be some great matches. There are going to be some tough times, of course. These are very tough competitions. But I know Canadians around the world will be watching and supporting the Canadian men's team because we know that they're going to exceed expectations and they're going to make it quite far this year.
Yay. Amen. And
Inshallah.
And of course, I want your prediction as the football lovers of four top teams in the World Cup. Who will it be?
Okay, a given, so let's just say Canada is going to be one. But if I were to offer another four, I would say Germany.
Germany.
I think they are undefeated in a dozen games, like, or nine games. I think they
have powerful players also.
Yeah, powerful players. I would say Spain has a great team this year. And of course, Argentina and Brazil can never be, like, they can always be part of
That's five.
Yeah, I know, but I was saying Canada, but then if I were to do an additional four.
I put Canada in.
Okay, then I would say Canada, Germany, Spain, Brazil.
Ah, okay. Wow.
And if Canada didn't for some reason make it, then I would throw in Argentina.
Okay. Canada, Argentina and Brazil, which one is stronger?
Well, I should have looked at the rankings before I came. But Brazil has a great team. They always do. But you also have Messi.
Mm, there you go.
Right? And Messi is a generational player.
Okay. Well, Mr. Ambassador, thank you very much for being here. I know you've been very busy. And after this, you will also have another meeting, right?
Well, I have meetings. I fill my day.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Mr. Ambassador, for coming here in a Soccer Fiesta for today.
Thanks. It's a great honor to be here. And thank you for your time.
Yes. And listener, that was our Soccer Fiesta for today. And of course, I'll see you on the next Soccer Fiesta.
Voice of Indonesia.
Lung is vulnerable to a lot of diseases. However, many diseases are very preventable. Here is the explanation of PhD researcher at University of Groningen, the Netherlands, Dr. Oke Dimas Asmara.
First, I want to mention about lung infection, because infection is very, very common, especially the last couple of weeks. I think I saw news, there's a lot of people in Jakarta and Southeast Asia as well contacted by flu, influenza, so it's a viral infection. But also we have pneumonia, which is a bacterial infection to your lungs. And the important things, and we already fight for it for decades, for centuries, is tuberculosis infections. Because right now Indonesia is, I think, is number two in the world regarding the highest number of tuberculosis patients. So we have a lot of people with tuberculosis. So you need to keep your lungs from these diseases. Infection is the first one. And then we can go to cancer, of course, lung cancer. I mentioned lung cancer is the deadliest cancer, but it is also somewhat is the most preventable cancer among the others, because we know the main risk factor, which is smoking. So we should avoid smoking to avoid lung cancer eventually. So it's good to know this disease as well. Other than that, it is somewhat very not too often mentioned in Indonesia. It's called COPD, but it's very, very popular in the world. Even it's like number three in terms of mortality rates. So COPD is abbreviation for chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. In Indonesia, it's called PPOK, penyakit paru obstruktif kronik. So it is the destruction of your lungs because of smoking or inhaling substances hazards for over 10-20 years. So it will get really bad, and it can cost your life, to be honest. And yes, this disease is needed for you. But I think there's a couple of things that you also need to know, especially about the things that we can do to avoid that, especially the first one about infection, because we now have vaccination. So vaccination not only for kids, but also for adults, especially flu vaccination. Flu vaccination is very much beneficial. It can avoid us from getting flu over the time, and it can reduce the severity of the disease itself. So you can get once in a year. And for a vulnerable population like the elderly, you can also get pneumonia vaccination. It can keep you safe from a pneumonia infection. So yes, there's a lot of things that we can do. But first, if you have symptoms that persistent more than 2 or 3 weeks, or you, for example, you're coughing a blood or a colored mucus, and you have a shortness of breath, or there's a sound on your breathing, please go see your doctor, because it needs to be checked further in details. Yeah.
For more detail about lung health, you can check our VOI talk on our YouTube channel, VOI Official.
Voice of Indonesia. In today's digital era, artificial intelligence, or AI, is becoming increasingly familiar in the world of education. From schools to universities, chatbots, apps, and learning machines are now part of everyday experience for teachers and students. AI is often praised for making learning faster and more practical, but this raises a big question. Does AI truly support education? Or is it introducing new ethical challenges and reshaping the kind of social capital we need for the future? AI in education is often associated with efficiency, faster, more practical, and giving access to endless information. But what does this mean from the perspective of a lecturer who works with students every day?
Saya itu juga menggunakan AI ya.
I also use AI. When I'm preparing lecture material for my students, I usually start with textbooks and theories from well-known experts, especially in the courses I teach. But beyond the standard materials, it's important to enrich the content with the latest information, often from recent research. These days, AI makes that process easier. I can simply ask about the most up-to-date studies on a particular topic or find real-life cases that are relevant to the material I'm teaching.
AI provides shortcut to the latest information, even cutting-edge research that used to take a long time to uncover.
Jadi cukup ada perbedaan ya.
There's quite a difference now. In the past, our sources for lectures came only from books or academic journals. But with AI, we can access the most recent developments and obtain information much faster. For example, I can simply type on my laptop, "Find me the latest research on cases of paranoid schizophrenia and the recommended intervention for patients with that condition." Through AI, we can quickly get that information and even ask where it came from. Of course, we shouldn't take everything AI presents at face value. We still need to verify where its references come from. It's even better if we trace those sources ourselves. So AI really helps us find relevant information on the topics we're discussing in class much faster than before.
Students experience the same thing. AI has become a tool that makes the learning process more efficient.
Sebenarnya untuk penggunaan AI sendiri, bagi saya itu sangat penting.
Actually, for me, using AI is really important. From my experience, when I'm writing a paper or an article, I always have to think about the outline first. But when I hit a creative block, that's when I turn to AI. There are also a few AI tools that really help me find articles, especially when the deadline is tight. As a student, we have so many assignments, right? So I use AI to look for reference materials. It really saved me a lot of time for searching, reading, and understanding the articles I need.
Okay, penggunaan AI dalam perkuliahan.
Okay, talking about using AI in lectures, I've used it a few times, but mostly I use it for discussions. Personally, I treat AI as a discussion partner when studying the course material. Sometimes there are topics that make me feel like I need someone to talk to exchange ideas. And when no one's around, that's when I turn to AI. That's just how I use it.
Honestly, things have become much easier now. AI really helps a lot, but still, it's better to double check. For example, when I ask AI a question, I can see how the tool works and give answers. After that, I go back to books or journals to confirm the information. So yes, AI is very helpful, but we still need to verify what it gives us.
Yet, efficiency cannot be separated from ethics. How far should students go in using AI? And how do lecturers assess honesty?
When I assign group discussions, I do allow students to use AI to find information sources, but they must trace where the data actually comes from and read the original material carefully. Usually, AI helps them paraphrase or summarize journal articles they've read. However, from my own experience, AI doesn't always provide a complete or accurate summary, so I always remind my students to read the article themselves and cross-check AI summary against the real content. Sometimes AI misses key points or gives incomplete conclusions. As for group work, there's no fixed rule like 50-50 between AI and personal work, but students must state if they use AI and to what extent. The bottom line is their writing should never be entirely AI generated.
This ethical issue is also about the rules and assessment mechanisms.
Pertama, kita harus beritahu dulu.
First, we need to clearly explain the rules to students. What are the boundaries when using AI? For example, if they want to balance their work 50-50 between their own ideas and AI-generated content, or follow academic standards that limit AI use to a maximum of 10%. Once those rules are made clear, the expectation is that students can understand and adjust their assignments accordingly. As lecturers, we also have tools to check whether a student's work is fully AI-generated, mostly written by AI, or still includes their own original thinking. There are even AI detection programs that I use to evaluate their submission.
awalnya tergoda gitu, tetapi saya balik lagi berpikir bahwa
at first I was tempted, but then I do again. What's the real purpose of going to college? That's why I don't want to just ask AI and copy whatever it gives me. I try to think first about which point I can actually take and use from AI. In the end, AI should only be supporting tool, not something we rely on completely for the answers.
Balik lagi, AI digunakan untuk berdiskusi.
If all our work comes from AI, I disagree. AI should be like a discussion partner. We need to be smart in selecting its responses. Taking everything as is would be plagiarism.
Apa yang kita cari, terus kemudian kita copy.
Copying something directly from AI and passing it into assignment isn't right. I mean, when we work on an assignment, it should always include proper theories and references. Sure, we can ask AI questions like what is nursing, or explain and provide sources, but we still need to make sure its answer are accurate. And of course, we can rely on AI alone. We also need to check journals and books, just like I mentioned earlier.
Beyond efficiency and ethics, there's also social capital built in classrooms, trust, teamwork, and honesty among students.
Mahasiswa itu kadang-kadang ketika mereka kerja kelompok ada temannya yang
sometimes in group projects there's always one student who relies entirely on AI for their part. Usually we divide the task. One handles the introduction, another the method section, and so on. But often someone submits work that's 100% AI generated. Then the group just compiles it together. To prevent that, I ask every member to fully understand each part of the project. Whoever is responsible for a section must explain it to their teammates. That way, even if they use AI to summarize or write, they are still required to understand what they've written.
Balik lagi ke niat kita sebagai mahasiswa.
It all comes back to our intentions as students. Why are we in college in the first place? Is it just to earn a diploma, to get a degree, or because we truly want to learn? If it's about gaining knowledge, then go through the process wholeheartedly. Find ways to really grow through your studies. But if it's only about the title, honestly, it might not be worth pursuing at all.
Alat bantu bukan jalan pintas.
AI is a tool, not a shortcut. Personally, I believe we must always keep our sense of reason. We are human beings. We have minds that define the boundary between us and AI. If we rely on AI completely, then in a way, we are letting it outsmart us, or worse, letting it take control. So we have to use our rationality.
Sebenarnya kalau untuk menggunakannya dalam kesehariannya belum.
Actually, it's fine to use AI in our daily work. But my advice is don't just copy and paste from it. The information isn't always accurate. It's better to use AI wisely. For example, when we don't know where to start researching something, we can ask AI just to get the basic idea or the right tools. After that, we should look for proper references in journals, books, or ebooks. So don't rely purely on AI. It's okay to use it for a quick overview, but never for copying answers.
From classrooms to campuses, AI is like a double-edged sword. It brings great efficiency, yet challenges academic ethics and shapes students' social capital. Education cannot reject technology, but we can choose how to use it. And now, the question is, will we use AI as a learning companion or merely as a shortcut? The choice is ours.
do I have to do to make you stay?
Of Indonesia. If you have something to say, if you have a recommendation to the Voice of Indonesia, feel free to do it. You can go to our email voalisteners@gmail.com. Well done, listener. I'm Steve. Thank you very much for listening. Make sure to stay tuned with us on RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.